Hello, welcome to the Grace Life Podcast. The message you're about to hear, if diligently applied, will absolutely change your life. We're praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, thereby allowing the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. Now let's join the service already in progress with Pastor West.
Love to watch those who God has called to preach and enjoy it. Huh? I said, and enjoy it. Amen. Y'all believe in going down the middle of the road? This is the middle. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I got a good word for you this morning. Amen. Not because I'm preaching it. And by the way, as they go, the children's go, this will be today on Facebook, and those of you who won't be in the service, catch it as soon as you can afterwards, because it's an appointed word. Amen. And in that, I'm going to ask everyone before you hear any of it to help me preach this from here on out. I got instruction on this that Pastor Billings and I have been talking about. He's been preaching about several different ways. He was here Wednesday. We didn't know he was coming. He called me Wednesday morning, said, I have a word for the church. Can I come preach? And I said, sure. And so he came and gave a word, and it out of what he's been preaching, which is two is better than one. And two is better than one. Yeah. There's so many scriptures talks about what one can do and then what two can do and more. So I'm going to ask those of you who minister in the ways that you minister, or you, those of you like the Franklins who are doing weekly Bible studies, pray and see what God says. But I saw that if everyone would pick this up in their own way and we would do it together, he said, not only will I confirm this word, he said, the more it's unified and the more that the whole house says this and the more the whole house brings it in to their thinking and to the heart, he says, you will see the manifestation of it happen so much faster. Now, you'll like the message, you'll like the content of the message, but the reason he needs you to take a part of it is because he needs to work through you to do a work. But he's going to do this in you as he's doing it through you. And so we really won't get into the fine point of this, but we're going to talk about the fullness of restoration, of God restoring many things into our life through the kingdom of God. And he needs that word to go out from you. But I need to get it in you. I need to get it in me. We need to get it in ourselves so that we can proclaim this word from heaven, because our days on this planet are short. Amen. And there are several things that have to come together. And our God is an intelligent God, and he knows all the aspects of the end time, and he knows the prophecies that have gone forth, that the gospel has to be preached throughout the entire world, and then the end shall come. Well, there's over 3 billion people who's never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to do that takes mega finances. And so God is raising up and needs to raise you up as one of those who is a financier of the end times. So I'm glad that you're here this morning. I really didn't come to do a Sunday morning service and a Bible study with you. But we're going to talk about this, and as we get into it in the next few weeks, if we hit it every week except Thanksgiving, Christmas, that's 15, that'll be about 15 Sundays, which is about 15 hours. When I went to Bible school, some classes was taught two times a week, and some subjects was taught three times. We have some subjects that was taught on Tuesday and Thursdays, and then some subjects that was taught Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Well, you can't really cover anything to any great depth. You know, that's a major. I mean, if it's major enough that it creates a Bible school, and this is your curriculum, you're not really getting. Can you see, in other words, well, righteousness was a class that we took, and it was a Tuesday and Thursday. You think you're going to get all the ins and outs of righteousness on, 8 weeks times 16 classes. And every class had to be 50 minutes. So you think you're going to know everything about righteousness in 16 hours? No, you're just going to get an introduction to it. And that's the purpose of Bible school, is to go into build off there. So you're going to get an introduction to this. But he said, I don't know, this is, I never had him say this to me this way. He said, if you, I'm employing on the people, asking them to help you, to help me. So unless he tells you you can, I'm asking you to abandon whatever you're doing. I've never asked, let him know one, and get on this message. Now, he can come out a lot of different ways, and he'll give you a different way to do it. And so for those of you here watching on Facebook, I'm speaking to you. Those of you who hear this later, I'm speaking. There's no time distance in the Spirit. Those of you who hear this on some other way, through SoundCloud, if it's 6 months later, it's still working. Amen. Amen. And so God has spoken these things through people all through the years about restoration. I know Jerry Savelle preached this, the Lord gave him this preach in 1998. He's just one of them. Right? And I remember thinking about that one time, 1998, the prophecy that he gave about, you know, God restoring some things. And the Lord said, you know, to me a day, my scripture says to me a day is a thousand years a day. So he said, 20 years ago, a thousand years a day, he said, I spoke that to Jerry 7 days ago. Jerry spoke it 20 years ago to the body. He said, no, I spoke it 7 days ago. How many believe if God spoke something last Sunday, he means it this Sunday? Yeah. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. All right, now, can we start? Let's go back to where we was at last week, Revelation. And this is, put this in the time frame of what we need to understand about things being accelerated and why God is employing all of us to preach this word for him. And we'll go to Revelation chapter 12. And for sake of time, let's just go to verse 10. It said, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the powers of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him. Now, who's him? Devil, Satan. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, you heavens. So heaven's rejoicing about this, right? And you that dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath. Well, heaven, be thrilled. And this tells us where Satan is. You're a trained church, so I know that you know this. Satan is not in hell. He'll be there. Right, but he's not there now. Well, let's see where he is. For the devil has come down to the what? Having great wrath, because he knows, but he has a short time. He has a short time. We talked about that last week, that he is out of time. Now, watch here. The message says, the end of it says, the devil has come down on you with both feet. That's why you've been feeling like that lately. For the devil has come down on you with both feet. He's had a great fall. He's wild and racing with anger. He hasn't much time and he knows it. He's out of time. And he knows he's out of time. And this is what time it is. It's time for takeover. It's time for takeover. I believe it's time for we, the body of Christ, the voice on this earth. So you are the voice on this earth. And I'm just getting these little things as I'm ministering. Maybe some notes here, but I'm just hearing these things. As someone who has understanding of this, so I don't have to go into depth. It's going to be very important for all of us to watch our words. Because we're going to be addressing some things in our lives, in our homes, in our communities, in our workplaces, in our city, in our state, and in our nation. And you're going to attract some opposition. So you're going to need to be cautious and selective the words that you choose. You are kings and priests of God, and you rule and you reign by your authority that's in Jesus. But you rule through your words. You rule through your words. So you need to be selective in your words. Jesus said, by your words, you're going to be justified. But by your words, he says, you'll also be condemned. And in the end of this thing, Jesus said, in the end, he said, you will give an account to me personally of your words. Now, why did he say that? See, he didn't, you see, our words, I think 1 Samuel 2:3 says, the Lord God, he said, he weighs our actions. That's an interesting verse. I think it's 1 Samuel 2:3. He's a God of purpose, and he sees what you hear this morning. He sees who's here this morning. He knows what you're hearing this morning. And then he says that he'll take what you've heard, if you received it, and then he's going to weigh your actions. He's going to see what you're going to do with it. Right. He'll weigh it. So we need to be not legalistic in this sense, but we need to understand that when God created the earth, he did it with words. You're going to create or destroy through words. There's been a lot of pressure on the body of Christ in the last, well, forever in that sense, but you could always say forever, but I mean just in the last, and I don't want to give a time frame on it, and some of you may not be at this place, and that's wonderful, but some people and some of us have seen increased activity. You're living in a new day. You're living in the last day. So I always said it this way, if you're going to live in the last day, then there's an anointing for the last days. It wouldn't be the same anointing as the early church. It wouldn't be the same anointing for the church that was here 500 years ago, where God was doing different things. The gospel was always the gospel, but you're in a different place, right? It's like making something or building something. Let's just say you're building something. Well, if you broke it up into steps, you would say, well, now that we're preparing to build, and then, you know, and then we got blueprints, and then we're getting supplies together, and then we're going to go dig footings, and then we're going to go, and there would be steps to that. All that's building, but if you dissect it, there are steps to it, right? And so the Lord's been always about his business, but there's going to be a generation alive when he comes. And without going there this morning, the end of the scriptures, and Timothy tells us what the world looks like at the end. And doesn't paint a great picture, except he says when Jesus comes, he'll find faith in the earth, and he's coming for a glorious church. But he gives us many warnings to know the end times and to know the condition of people of the earth, even into your own home, where he says, father against be against mother and sister against sister and brother against brother. And he said, I didn't come to bring peace, I come and brought a sword. That's what Jesus said. I come to bring a sword. And so you'll see this one pit against that one and this one against that one. And he says, and then you'll know that the end shall come and the gospel shall be preached. And so here we are, and we see that Satan is running angrily, and he's with rage. Because he knows he doesn't have much time, and he knows he doesn't. And when someone is going to be somewhere forever, and they're trying to change the outcome, see, I don't think personally, and you can disagree with me here, and this is my opinion, but from my study, I still believe that Satan is trying to change the outcome of this. He thinks he still has a chance to win this. So, but he knows he's running out of time. So he can't employ the methods with people that, you know, for 1,000 years. that he did 1,000 years ago. So he needs to move you in or out real quick. So he's doing wild junk. Wild mess. Or as Lexi tells me, junk mess. So he's acting wildly and he's angered because he's out of time. But for you, it's time for you to take over. Yeah. You're the king and the priest, and God's put it in your hand to take over. It's time for to tell Satan, hey, Satan, your time's up. Now that is just a statement, but that's the statement they say you ought to write down. In other words, you need to get that in you. You need to get the spirit of faith of that, Satan, your time is up.
Amen.
You're going to have to get it for you before you can go preach it out. You can preach it out, but you got to get it in you. And so you have to come to the place that you say, Satan, it's over. It's over with me. There has to be something in you that gets fed up. Huh? You know, when they killed John the Baptist, it affected Jesus. They beheaded him. John the Baptist apparently was the only one on earth who knew who Jesus was and why he was there. And it grieved him. Jesus experienced grief because of a death of a friend. But he couldn't live there long because he had an assignment. He went off to try to be by himself, and people are trying to find him because they had needs. Amen. Now, so Satan has come, we know, to steal and to kill and destroy. If you look around, we can see how he's plundered people's lives, their homes, their families. He's brought plagues and diseases, and we've had tsunamis, and we've had tornadoes, and we've had hurricanes. The political landscape of this nation is like you've never seen it before. There's things going on in the political realm, and that's the only things that we know. That's the only thing that gets out.
Right.
It is like no other time ever before. Satan is making his play for this nation like he's never made a play for this nation. God has an assignment and a call on this nation to be a light to the world, and Satan knows that. He's coming at it with everything that he's got.
Right.
Well, he's not coming after the earth in that sense. He's coming after the people in this nation.
Right.
He's trying to get your health. He's trying to get your mind. He's trying to get your kids so your mind goes with them. He's trying to get your finances. He's trying to get your health. He's trying to do it all at once. He's assigning and reassigning demons. His problem is he doesn't have enough demons. Now, you need to know this. God is omnipresent, but Satan is not.
Right.
Satan can only be at one place at one time. Right. So if Satan is in Chile, he's not here. And if he's here, he's not in Africa. However, he has a force. God has angels, and so does Satan. But he's so outnumbered. He's so outnumbered, and he's already defeated. Now, we know that. Now, watch here. So he come to seek and destroy. So my attitude is this. Your time's up. Now, that's a statement, but we have to have word for it, okay? So my home, my family, my finances, my hopes, my dreams, my marriage, my call, my health, I'm just putting you on notice today. I'm putting you on notice today that your time is up, that you're through in Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Say, I'm putting you on notice today, Satan. Your time's up. You're through in Jesus' name. See, nothing in life, nothing in your life is really going to change with your condition. As someone says, you know, whatever you tolerate will dominate. If you tolerate it, he'll stay there. Anybody ready for a takeover?
Yeah.
So God's waiting for your decision. Heaven's waiting for your answer. The angels are waiting on your decision, your choice. But decision is the place of power. I was late getting here this morning because I was writing all this. Started last night and it came again this morning. And I just got here in time for church. Hallelujah. So heaven and all of its resources will back you up when you decide.
Yeah, that's right.
Heaven sits almost dormant where you and I are concerned until you make a choice. Why? Because you are God's ambassador on earth. You are God's spokesman. You are the anointed one on earth.
Yeah.
The scripture says, whatever you bind, heaven will bind. Whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven. Heaven is waiting on your response, and then they will bring all their resources to that decision. Are y'all here? Y'all getting this? Amen. Now watch here. Isaiah 10:27 says this, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off your shoulder. Whose burden? The burden of Satan himself. See, not your burden. It is yours in a sense, but the burden here says, in that day, it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken off of your shoulder. His, yours. This is his burden. This is his disease. This is his sickness. This is his lack of peace. This is his hopelessness. You ever felt hopeless? Well, if you did, you got it from him. Well, I mean, just look at his future. Don't it look hopeless to you? So he's just sharing you how he feels every day. Right? I mean, if you knew you was doomed for hell, I mean, you know. So he's just sharing with you how he feels. Amen. But he hates God. And he hates what God loves, so therefore he hates you. Now watch here. So he says, and it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from your shoulder and the yoke from off of your neck. And the yoke shall be destroyed. It doesn't say broken. Sometimes we use the word broken, but it doesn't say broken. It says destroyed. Because I don't know about you, I have broken some things and with Gorilla Glue put it back together. He didn't say broken, he said destroyed. Because no Gorilla Glue, no crazy glue, no Elmer's glue, no welding is going to put together, back together, what God destroys because of the anointing. Are you ready? So someone said, because of the anointing. Now, the word Christ, of course, is the word what? The anointed, and of course, the anointed one and his anointing. Thank you, Brother Copeland. Give him credit one more time through all the years. So what is God saying here? He said, the anointing will destroy every yoke off of your neck. Now listen, you know what your situations are? If you don't, I mean, I don't know. Do you know what your situations are? Talk to me, church. Are y'all here? The anointing will destroy every yoke from off of your neck. Every bondage away from you. Every bondage. Every bondage. Jesus never left someone the way that he found them. Whatever problem they had, they were rid of all of it. So he said, the anointing will destroy his burden off of your neck. His thing, not my thing. So don't say, my bursitis. God didn't create you in the beginning. Day one of your life with bursitis. It was not the plan of God. You're made in the image of God. Amen. We're just about to see. Sorry, Lord. We're here. We're seeing right now the days of many creative miracles. Gobs of them. We're coming into a time, and we're here now, that it'll be hard. I don't know how you're going to do it because there's going to be so many testimonies. We can't have church if we just let everyone testify. It'd just be so many. And the people will be on the street. The church will be out in the marketplaces, which is where they're supposed to be, ministering the gospel. And there'll be so many signs, wonders, miracles, and demonstrations that it would take meeting every week just to have people tell a little bit of it. Amen. Azusa Street, again, magnified to the great exponential of it. Okay, are you ready? So, he said, here's God answered to restore things. See, it's God's idea, it's God's plan, it's God's desire to restore to you. Now, you and I want restoration, right? But it was His idea before it was your idea. Where did we first find restoration? In the Garden of Eden. So this is not a brand new concept with God. Matter of fact, He had the plan of restoration before He created Adam and Eve. If you believe that He knew what was going to happen, right? So God says, okay, let's go ahead and restore them before we make them, before they make a mistake. That's the gospel anyway, right? Let's go ahead and have a plan to redeem mankind before mankind even knows he's going to need redeeming. Right? So this is not a new idea. This is not a Jerry Savelle sermon. This is a Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3 sermon, right? Are you ready? And so the anointing, I'm going to say the anointing will destroy. You ever saw an F5 tornado come in somewhere and you couldn't, and they're trying to find Felix the cat and he's 14 states over? Just whatever. And, you know, I just, there's been tsunamis that come in and just wiped out cities and villages. And there's just, you can't even tell nothing ever lived there. If you had not been in the world and you had no history of 9/11 and you just went to New York where the Twin Towers was and you didn't know that, there would be not any evidence that there was ever total devastation, because it's been rebuilt and it's not, of course, 10 Twin Towers there. It's something else, right? But there'd be no evidence that it was ever destroyed. So what I'm saying is when the anointing comes, it's going to destroy every yoke of bondage off of your neck. The anointing is here to get that sucker off of you. Every yoke, every yoke from off your neck. So this is not a bartering system. This is not something, God, if you just make this lesson a little bit and get my pain down to 3 and all this and help me find a pill that makes us go away. That's a bad testimony for the body of Christ. Right? The idea for God was we lay hands on the sick and they get better. Not we lay hands on the sick and send them to 47 doctors and 87 pills, and then we give God all the credit for what the doctor did. Okay, got real quiet in this Presbyterian place. Amen. Well, if you believe that, we just do it the other way, right? So let's get that way. So the anointing is going to destroy every yoke of bondage. So God is proclaiming to Satan, time is up. Time is up. So we need to declare what God's declaring, which is what? Time is up. Now, go with me to Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. Amen. Isaiah is giving you a prophetical from the prophet, the seer, is giving you a prophetical word of wisdom of that which is to come, speaking of the Messiah. These words are in Luke chapter 4 that Jesus, the Messiah, later spoke in the temple. But God is telling you what will be said and what will be done because of the anointing before the anointing Jesus Christ is ever born on the earth as an infant. So Isaiah is telling you what's going to happen before it happens. What I'm going to read is found pretty much in what? Luke chapter 4. And here's what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, that's Luke chapter 4. That's what Jesus said when he stood up and he opened up the scroll, right? The first thing he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So he's just quoting Isaiah the prophet. He's reading these words. Actually, Jesus is reading the words of Isaiah, but they speak of him. So it is a declaration. It was chosen of Jesus to read these words because these words were spoken of Christ the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek and hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prison to them that are bound. Then he says, and I am to proclaim, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. and the day of our vengeance to our God, and to comfort all that mourn. Can you see bondages? He said, but I'm anointed to proclaim this is the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm anointed to help people who are mourning, to bring comfort to them, to bring vengeance to them, or the avenger has come against them, and to relieve them of that. Now watch verse 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, I'm anointed to give unto them beauty for their ashes, oil of joy for their mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that they might be glorified. Now, so God's saying, I'm anointed. I'm telling you, Satan, your time's up because the anointing is here. And your burdens have destroyed my people. Your burden is on my people upon their neck, but I'm telling you, your time's up because I'm here. You've been here, but I'm here. So you're through. This is it. This is it. And he needs you to help people who don't know this. He needs you to help people who don't have understanding of this. I mean, I had a son years ago who was just, you know, about this big in grade school, and then a bully was getting him every day. You couldn't do this now, and forgive me for me saying it, but the way I handled it is I just went to the school, and I found out who the kid was, but I didn't go in the school system. I waited till the bell rung, and I walked right across years ago. So don't look me up. The time's passed. I went to the schoolyard, and I found the young man. He was probably in the 5th or 6th grade, 7th grade, whatever he was. And he was one of my kids. He was bullying and much bigger. So I said, I knew what he looked like, and I found out where he was going to be in the bell rung before he got on his bus. I said, hey. He looked up at me. I said, I'm so-and-so's daddy. I said, I heard you've been messing with my son. I said, why you want to mess with my son? Oh, I don't know. I said, well, here's the way it is. I'm going to let you get on the bus. If I hear one more time that you hurt my son, that you mess with my son, I'm going to come back. I'm going to jerk your right arm off your body and beat you to death with it. Now, I wouldn't counsel you to use that. That was just where I was. I wasn't in the ministry, and I wasn't a pastor, and you know, and I was dealing with stuff. It worked, too. It worked. And they got all these procedures how to stop bullying. Now, that'll work. And I don't know if you need to do it, but that's what I did. So Jesus is telling Satan, I'm here. I've decreed it. When heaven decrees it, it has just come to pass. You're through. But if you don't have an attitude for that, and if you're not fed up with it yet, then you just have to keep on doing what you do. So the anointing will destroy every yoke of bondage, and then it'll leave no evidence that there was ever a yoke or a burden there. Just like you can't find the Twin Towers, it'll leave no evidence that there ever was a conflict there. You will so be restored, renovated, put back in order to the proper order and even to a better place as we get to it in the teaching, that it will only be a testimony that you can tell them because they'll see no evidence of it. So if you want pictures for somebody one day, if you can do it on pictures, then go ahead and get them some pictures because you won't be able to say, here, see, because there'll be nothing to see. So God is proclaiming to Satan, your time's up. Now, so he said, I'm turning your mourning into dancing, turning your sorrow into joy. We've been saying for 2 or 3 years here, you've been saying it, and then the Lord corrected me about 2 months ago. We said, everything's turning out amazing, remember? And then he told me about a month ago, he said, quit saying that. He said, tell him it's turned. Don't say, well, he said this way, everything's turned out amazing, and what ain't amazing is still turning. He said, don't say that anymore. Say, now it's turned. So he said, here, I'm turning your mourning into dancing and turning your sorrow into joy. And then he said, it's time for you to have a wardrobe change. It's time to take off your old garment of heaviness and put on a new garment of praise. Amen. Well, there's two amens. Praise the Lord. Amen. Psalms 126. Y'all doing all right? Yes. Anybody going to help me preach this? Yes. We'll speed it up. We're going to read the whole psalm. It's just 6 verses. When the Lord turned. Not if he turns. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them, the what? Dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, where we are glad. Turn again. Well, he turned once, he'll turn again. He turned it in his day, he's going to turn it in ours. Amen? Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears are reaping in joy. Woo! He that goes forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Amen. So notice what happened. He declared, what he's saying is, once again, he's saying, Satan, your time's up. I'm turning the captivity of my people so that their mouths will be filled with laughter and their tongue with singing. Amen. He said, I'm turning their captivity. I'm restoring back to them what belongs to them. I'm restoring. Now, I'm not even going to preach on restoration today, but this is what it's about. I'm restoring. But some people, sometimes people have gone through so much for so long, they just lose all hope. They're so discouraged that you got to preach something like this 5 times to even get tired of being flat before you can even think about it. Like, oh, I've heard all, nothing really happens. Well, hang around. Hang around. I mean, when you say stuff like that, what am I going to do with it? I either got to believe you or God. Huh? Amen. So, Matthew 8, verse 28 and 29 in the message. Oh, this is good. Good, 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 good. Well, I'll go a few verses before then, but in the message, I don't know which one it is. Well, let's see. Matthew 28 verses, Matthew 8 verses 28 and 29. Can I do it? We not got it. Okay. Let's look at it. It said they landed in the country, the Gadarenes, and were met by two madmen. These two madmen were victims of what? Demons. They were coming out of the cemetery. The men had terrorized the region for so long that no one considered it safe to walk down that street of road anymore. Seeing who? Jesus, the madman, screamed out. Here's what the madman says to Jesus. Now, who's actually doing the speaking through the man? Oh, the demon is saying to Jesus, what business do you have giving us a hard time? You're the Son of God. You weren't supposed to show up here yet. Off in the distance, the herd of pigs is browsing, da-da-da, and we know that he cast those demons out of those men, and they went into the swine, and they fell off the cliff and committed suicide. We know all that. Right? They said, you weren't supposed to show up. You're here out of time. It's not time for you to torment us. This is still supposed to be in our time. Jesus says, I'm taking over. Are y'all here?
Yes.
How do y'all hear?
Yes.
I'm taking over.
Yes.
Amen. He's taking over in your life. Heaven is waiting on your decision. It's waiting on your choice.
Right.
Life and death is before you. Blessing and cursing is before you. He's waiting on your decision. He's waiting on your decisions, the place of power. Heaven and all of its resources are waiting for your answer. Whatever you bind in heaven, we bound in earth. Whatever you loose on heaven, be loosed in earth. Yes. Amen. Yes. It's going to take a while. Praise the Lord. My. Well, so here we go. So let's say it this way. Say the shakeup has begun. There's a new sheriff in town. And we, the new sheriffs in town, the new boss in town, we're going to be reinforcing all of our blood-bought covenant rights for me and my family and my church family, because we're going to preach this to one another in the church. This is how he showed me. He said, this is not me doing a series of teaching about restoration. This is what we are going to minister to one another. I'm as interested in your restoration as you are each other's restoration, as in my restoration, and all of us together. We're going to do this whole thing, and then we're going to hit the hillsides, and we're going to go be the voice in the earth out into the marketplace, and we're going to bring restoration. It's the same thing as Jesus authorizing disciples, go heal the sick, cast the dead, raise the dead, tell them this, tell them that, tell them this. What was he doing? Well, if he was healing the sick, he was restoring their health. If they were dead, that's really restoring their health. Right? He said, if they're demon-possessed, he said, get the demons out. Never said pray for them. He said, heal them. Get rid of the demons, right? And so that's what we're doing. He was bringing restoration because the anointing came on. And when the anointing was there and the anointed one, he said, your time's over. You've been destroying my people, but I'm here now. And I'm taking your burden off them, so you're through. I'm hoping you're getting that. I mean, you don't need me to do theatrical and all that. Do you do I have to do all that, pump you all up just to get you to get the message? Can't you? You're just taking the meat of this thing, aren't you? Right. I mean, I guess I can do all that. I just don't want to do all that. Why should I have to do that? You know, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree, he didn't say, I'm telling you, fig tree, I'm telling you now, woo, I feel an anointing. I'm telling you, and I'm cursing you at the very roots there, and I'm commanding you, die, die, die in my name. Yeah. Jesus said, no man will eat from you there. No man will eat from you from hereafter. Goodbye. Right? But as word people, charismatic people, we want to preach to the fig tree the whole Bible. Jesus spoke 9 words and said goodbye. And then Peter come out next day and said, Shazam! Yeah, what you said happened. Jesus said, well, have faith in God. Amen. So he's saying your time's through. So we are reinforcing, all we're doing is reinforcing our blood bought. We overcome by what? The blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. We are reinforcing our blood-bought covenant rights for ourselves, for our family, for our church family, for this city, for the state, and for this nation. For this nation. So today, Satan, in Jesus' name, we stop your maneuvers against us. We cancel your assignments, and we decree and post your eviction notice. It's time to send these demons packing. Mark chapter 1, verse 27 in the message. Let's read that one. Mark chapter 1, verse 27. Everyone that was incredibly buzzing with curiosity, what's going on here? See, Jesus has been preaching. Demons have been leaving. And they can't understand. They're seeing something they never saw before. They said, everyone is incredibly buzzing with curiosity. What's going on here? This man, Jesus, he's teaching a new teaching that does what it says. Imagine that. He shuts up defiling demonic spirits and sends them packing. He's doing what? He sends them packing. News of the traveled fast and was soon all over Galilee. That's why we're going to do it all together. What are we saying? Satan, your time's up. get to packing. Get to packing. Amen. I'm going to go somewhere that I like this message. Did the Lord tell you when exactly I could go to Levi? Did the Lord give me a, yeah. I won't have to work for all those amens. Hallelujah. So everyone here was filled with curiosity. They said, this man actually teaches something and his teaching actually works. Huh? Man, we ought to have a good old Texas West Brush Harbor, Texas roundup. Round up all those lack demons. Round up all those demons. Round them up all the sickness and disease demons. Those who come to steal your peace and your joy. Huh? The ones that just annoy you. Round them all up. And the Bible says, James 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We resist him and he flees. The Message translation in that very verse says, so let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a loud yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Praise God. Now, let's end here this morning. Let's go to Acts chapter 3. And we'll end here. And then next week, we'll get more into the actual message of restoration. Acts 3, verse 19. It says, repent, which means change your mind. Repent you therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord. You know, you can get more in 2 minutes in the presence of God than you can 20 years of working, striving. You can get more answers in the presence of the Lord. In his presence than you can an entire lifetime. Now watch here. And he will send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. Very interesting verse, the next verse. Whom the heavens must receive until the times of restitution. If you want to look it up in the actual wording of this, King James said receive, but the actual word receive is the word retain. Heaven is retaining Jesus. Heaven is holding Jesus back. There is a time that's already specified when the Son of Man will appear in the clouds that we'll go to meet him. He's ready to come. He's just waiting on the word. He's just waiting on the nod. But until then, heaven is retaining him. Heaven's retaining him. Okay? Now, it says here, there is a time, it gives a timeline here, but it also gives an order of things that have to happen why he's being retained. Heaven must retain until there's times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So, in other words, the prophets have already declared his coming, and the prophets have already declared his second coming. He said, but heaven is holding him back. Heaven is retaining him until the restitution of all things. Now, let me read that verse in the Amplified, verse 21. Whom heaven must receive and retain until the time of the complete restoration of all that God spoke by the mouth of all his holy prophets for past ages, from the most ancient times into the memory of man. So God said, my son's coming. But before he comes, and before you meet me in the air, the order of this thing is that he says, I'm going to restore all. I mean, there's no way I can do this, and I mean, we're out of time now. And so you could look at what's happening in Israel. You could look how the ends of the signs of the time, how God's restoring, how he's bringing his people back to their nation. They're coming in droves. You can see all the signs of the end time. But he says, I'm bringing my church, my body, into full restoration before they come. This gospel should be preached throughout the world. But before then, he said, I'm going to restore all back to my people. I want you just to get the attitude of that this morning. But before you get the logistics and all the scriptures, you know, we word people like scriptures. I do. I love the scriptures. You know, if you don't have sufficient evidence, then you're just Jiminy Cricket wishing upon a star. Right? But if you have word for it and it's New Testament word, then we have every right to believe. Right? So here we are in that. But I want you to get the attitude of this that, hey, you're through. You're through. See, if you're not fed up with it, then I'm just up here talking. If you're okay with how it's doing, and you can just keep on doing that until the sweet by and by, then you may be miserable for a few weeks. But if you'd like to see God do some restoration in your life and in your family's life, and then your finances, and then your home, and then your family, and then your body, right? And have the full restoration of all things. And if you want to see God use you as a carrier of this, huh? Because I have word for the Lord. I have word from the Lord. This is what I'm doing. He said, just like I said, now you go and you go preach to them, and you'll go and you're anointed to do this. He's telling me, he said, preach this, but I want you to ask them. I've never asked you that. I don't think I've ever asked you that. 25 years of pastoring, the Lord told me to ask you, would you help me with this? Help him. Now, you don't have to get up and do what I did this morning, but you ought to be interested enough that you get the fine points of this message down, and you can present it in a 5 or 10 minute, then you can minister to people and they'll get it. He said, it'll spread like wildfire. He said, the more that gets a hold of this message here, he said, the faster they'll see it, and the faster you'll see it in your own life. Every pastor knows he can tell what his church is excited about by what they talk about when they get through them two doors. When they ain't talking about the word they're hearing, it's because they ain't been thinking about the word all week long. Okay, so Auburn won yesterday, so did Alabama. Did UAB win? Well, praise God. How many of y'all they send a check to after they win? No. Well, they won, right? And Nick Saban won, but he still ain't happy. I mean, the boss ain't enough. No, he said afterwards he was embarrassed that on their opening night they only won by whatever they won by. That they were a sloppy bunch. And they were, to his standard. Get off that now. Now watch here. They won. How about us? You say, oh, well, we always say we won. Yeah, but are you? I'm talking about it's time to experience some things. Not just confess. I'm talking about experience. Experience. Hallelujah. Restoration can be preached in so many ways. Right? When someone walks away from God, I mean, Adam and Eve, what did he do? He restored them. What did Jesus come to do? He came to restore us, to put us back into harmony with God. Yeah. So the gospel is restoration. So this is not whoever preached this years for years. This is not a cutting edge, whatever. It's just the gospel. It started in Genesis chapter 1, where God restored Adam and Eve after they had sinned, right? But unless it's in your heart, so you have to get the spirit of it. You have to get the attitude of it, right? Well, it's like Levi said one day, he was saying, we can have situations going on in our lives and in the physical realm, and then we just let it become the new norm. I live life walking this way a little bit instead of that way because it hurts to walk that way. Well, where's that scripture at? Oh, there. Walk on the right side for a few days instead of the left. Right? So can you get the attitude of it with me? Could you see it in the scriptures?
Yes.
Have you come to torment us before it's even time to torment us? He says, yeah, I'm early. I'm him. I'm him. It's over. You're through. You think Smith Wigglesworth ever annoyed some demons? He annoyed preachers. Oh, he did. I forget his name. We don't matter about his name. We wouldn't know him. But, you know, he was in that service one time, and I was reading again the other day. Someone who knew about it, they said it was Brother so-and-so, and he was, Smith just went to a meeting, and he didn't know the guy. But the guy was of a certain persuasion, denomination. He was just preaching doubt and unbelief. And Smith just couldn't handle it no longer. He just could not handle it. So he just, from the congregation, he said, "Shut him up, Lord. He's preaching unbelief." And the man shut up and went and sat down. And Smith got up and went to the pulpit. And he says, "Now turn in your Bibles." He said, "Your time's over. Shut him up, Lord." So when the enemy's preaching to you, and it comes in the form of thoughts, right? Suggestions. What you're seeing and what you're experiencing, what you're feeling, your circumstances, you need to tell him, like Smith did, shut him up. Shut him up. And then you start preaching. Don't wait till I start preaching on Sunday morning. You start preaching. Right? And here's why you need to preach it. You're the best preacher you know. Because a lot of you don't do things that I talk about and preach about. A lot of you do. But you do just about everything you say you're going to do. Someone says, "I think I'm going to get me a pizza." You know what they do? I'll go get them a pizza. But now if I told you this morning, this would be okay with some of y'all. Now, I don't want any of y'all to ever eat another donut or a scoop of ice cream the rest of your life. How many of y'all, just be honest with you, know you're going to disobey that somewhere? Thank you, sir. Thank you, man. Thank you. See those hands? Yes, man. That's better than giving salvation. Yes. How about you, Miss O'Taste and C, with the cakes? Don't ever make no more of that sugar. That's what kills people. So you're out of business. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, so we do about what we want to, right? Amen. So I'm asking you to help me with this. So do some study. Take what's going to come out in the next few weeks. Put it in you. Take some time in the scriptures. That's a big thing. That would mean you'd actually like read something. Like, wow. I was like, oh my gosh, we left church and the pastor asked us to read the Bible. I mean, where's he get off on doing that? Don't he know I have a life? read the scriptures about restoration. Start putting them in your thinking. Write them down somewhere. Put them somewhere that you see them. Get them in your heart. And as the occasion rises, begin to minister to them in the most simple ways to somebody else. And the Lord says, watch what I'll do before this year ever comes to an end. So if I take off Thanksgiving, actually I can turn restoration and Thanksgiving in the same service. Amen. Actually, I can do Christmas the same way if I want to. But anyway, dude, take those out. I got 15 goes at it. Because we and God will be here too. October 14th, I think. So 15 hours of restoring. And if you'll take that, we're going to take this, and you'll take that out there, and as you listen to it, if you'll fill your hearts and your minds with this word, not what I'm preaching, this word, God's going to begin to do a work in your life and in your day. And it's going to begin to turn things around. See, the power is in the word itself. That's why I don't have to always get down and say, That's pretty good. I caught him. What are you looking at? Thank God. Say, I'm restored.
I'm restored.
So we thank Father, we thank you that you are the great restorer of all things. I receive full restoration in my life, in my home, in my family, all my extended family, in my church. Full restoration of every member, every person of this church, and their families that extend out. We are decreeing and we are declaring A complete and full restoration. We are putting you on notice, Satan. September the 2nd, 2018, in this time, in this day, we're telling you, your time is up. The anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying, seed of the Word of God is taken over in the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all. In our homes, in our cities, in our communities, and in our workplace, and in our state, and in this great nation, in these United States of America, and to the countries that will listen, and to the countries that will hear, and to the countries that will heed, we declare in your nation a great harvest, a great time for taking over. You are set free in the name of Jesus. We declare you healed. We declare you whole. We command spirits of infirmity to come out of bodies, to leave minds, to leave homes, to leave churches, to leave the entire region. Satan, you have no authority. We're taking over. It's our time. It's our day. It's this word. And we declare in Jesus' name a great harvest of souls coming into the kingdom of God like never before. And a flooding of finances, even into third world countries. Money will begin to come. Money will begin to come. Say to me, money will begin to come. Money's on its way. Money's coming. It has turned. It's turned. He's turned my captivity. He's turned my sorrow into joy. He's turned my mourning into dancing. It has turned. I'm the healed of the Lord. I'm whole in His name. I'm happy in Jesus. So I think I rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ha 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 ha. Glory. 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 Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It's turned. It turned. Ha ha. It turned. Praise God. Yo, will you all help me preach this? Can you help me preach this? Matt, Dennis, y'all help me preach this? Brian, can you help me? Can anyone over here help me? I'm going to need some help. I'm going to need some help preaching this. I get this word out. This is much bigger than the British are coming. Huh? You got a great news. You got great news. The Lord said, go, preach it and I'll confirm it. Tell them it's turned. I'm going to lay hands on you and it's going to turn. Healing is a process most time, but you just tell him, when I lay hands on you with all the comforts of the world, he said the sick are going to recover, and this thing's turning for you.
Yes.
This thing's turning for you.
That's right.
This thing's turning for you.
That's right.
It's turned.
That's
it's
right.
Turned.
It's turned.
It's turned. I don't know. I don't hardly ever do this in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, it turned.
Thank you, Father.
It's turned.
Thank you.
And that what you're most... What's the thing that's the most dearest to you? The thing that competes for your thoughts most of the time. The Lord said, give no thought to it. And make no natural plan for it. And find no way to try to change it. But turn it to me. Speak to me about it. And I'll take it from this point forward. And it'll be better than you ever would have thought before. It'll be better than if I told you I would confirm what you would do. Do not speak to them. Speak to me. And speak to that situation. And that situation will go. And as you lay your hands upon people, and as you minister this word, and as you study this word, I'm going to build in you a fire. I'm going to build a fire in your innermost being. And it'll flow out of you like a river. And you never really saw yourself as a minister of the gospel in this sense. But there's a preaching fire in you that's been reserved until this day that's coming out now in the name of Jesus. And I will cause your influence to be great in this earth. And people will see you because they'll see the greatness of me in you. And you'll do it for my glory. Not because you wanted to, not because you wanted a platform, not because you ever desired this, but I desire this. I have kept you back. I have kept you behind the veil, as it were. You have been hidden for all these years to most of those even who see you. But a new you, which is not a new you, for it was always you. For I planned it from the very beginning. And now you'll begin to walk it out, and you'll walk it out even in this year. You'll begin to take steps this year. It'll just come to you. I think, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go do this. And it's going to be daring. It's going to be things that might even scare your husband. Glory, glory, glory. Do not take a stand back. Don't set back, and don't believe too little. Believe bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I will make you as a testimony to this, those in this church and those in your family. And they'll see the goodness of God, and they'll know, well, she couldn't have done that. How did that happen? How did that happen? And I will put you as a display, on display for my glory, says the Lord. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. It turned. It turned. Get that. I don't know what this is, but I see the Lord personally getting involved with you in matters that you have wrote off. Because they're just too far gone. Looks like there is no way to restore it. You know, sometimes we think, I don't even know what restoration would be for something like that. I mean, that's such a mess. You ever had something like that? I mean, you know it needs help, but you don't even know what to ask for. Well, that's scripture too, Romans chapter 8. When we don't know what to ask for. And the Lord said, I'm personally involved in this. He said, my hand's in the situation. He said, all you do, he said, if you can ask it, and if you can even think it, he said, I'll do it. I don't even know if I've said that to five people in my ministry. If you can even think it, and it's of me, the Lord said, I'll do it for you. Well, praise God. I'd belong to anybody if you want to go ahead and get it. I mean, but it's said to her, but I mean, ask her. Thank you. I mean, Ephesians 3:20, it belongs to all of us. But I just see the Lord just doing something there that, amen. Amen. You know, it's almost like it was so, it's so hard. And it's like the fight's going to be over before it even starts. What's that guy who boxes? He played for Alabama for a while. Wilder, what's his last name? He's wild. I mean, I don't ever watch boxing. It ain't not really my thing, but they've been trying to get him for the last couple of years for people who's paying to come see a fight to make it a little bit longer. Because, you know, he'd go in there in the first round or two and just knock him out. And they said, well, you know, your fans want to see a fight. He says, I wait as long as I could. He said, I was ready to do it when they rang the bell. But he knew that pop was going to be too short. Ding, gone. He said, I waited as long as I could. That's what I kind of see is the Lord is the heavyweight. And he's kind of come to something that thinks it's heavy in your life. He's going to knock it out. He's going to knock it out. So just while you remember that, Nathan, have her write down the gist of that. Or it's on this. You'll get it. Because you need to remember those words. Because Satan will come for those words and make you try to look something different. And you need to remember it was said, no, the Lord's going to knock this thing out. Hallelujah. So when I get words like that, man, I'm just rejoicing. That's much cause of rejoicing. The heavyweight has knocked everything out. Hallelujah. God's on my side. I will not be denied. The blood has been applied. Woo, hallelujah. Jesus' name. All right, let's get out of here. Be blessed.